to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Grant that by your Holy Spirit, we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Angel's Tide is from the first book of Moses called Genesis, the second chapter. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord,
who walks in his ways.
You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands.
You shall be blessed, and it shall be well with you.
Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house.
Your children will be like olive shoots around your table.
Behold, thus shall the man be blessed
who fears the Lord.
The Lord bless you from Zion.
May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life.
May you see your children's children.
Peace be upon Israel.
Glory
be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord,
who walks in his ways.
The reading from the letters is from the letter to the Hebrews, the second chapter. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere, "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the foundation of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up, and in order to test Jesus, asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and to send her away. And Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. And in the house the disciples asked him again about this matter. And he said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them up in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the word of the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
One verse from the gospel reading today, the final words that Jesus speaks to the Pharisees in response to their question about divorce. He said, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." This is our text. We live in a deeply divided time. I'm sure that comes as a surprise to none of you. The divisions between people are stark. You know them well. There are red states and blue states. There are vaccinated and unvaccinated. There are Sox fans and Yankees fans. But at least there are two wild card teams in the Major League playoffs this year. We also see in our world people divided into groups based on certain characteristics. There's skin color, there's class, wealth, sex, age, and so on. Now, it's one thing to recognize how people are different. There's nothing inherently wrong with recognizing such differences. For example, men and women are not the same. Genesis teaches that. Biology teaches that. Not the same, and yet both are equally created in the image of God, and both are necessary for new life. So it's one thing to recognize differences, but it's another thing to divide people for the purpose of setting them against each other, to see everything as a battle of us versus them, or them versus us. And that's too often what happens in our world. Differences get turned into divisions. Wedges are driven deeper, and people are played off against one another. In our day, we're hearing more and more the language of oppressor and oppressed, and this does exactly that. It takes differences and turns them into divisions. Beware of it. And when I think about Satan, I think that Satan knows these things. Satan hates differences, and he works to get rid of them. But on the other hand, Satan loves division, and he seeks to increase it. He knows that divided we fall. Today's gospel reading speaks to division. It speaks to that all too common experience of love having been driven out and of hatred and indifference moving in. We experience this most painfully with those that we are closest to. Now, the issue of division in our gospel reading is already there right from the very beginning, from the moment the Pharisees come up in order to test Jesus. The Pharisees are there not to learn something, but to skirmish. They've been itching for a fight. In fact, they've been itching for a fight ever since Jesus, back in Mark chapter 2, forgave the sins of a paralyzed man. "Why, only God can forgive sins," they say. And they're right. But instead of rejoicing that God has come in the flesh to forgive sins, heal the sick, and bring his kingdom, they set themselves against him. The Pharisees separated themselves from their own Messiah, from the very one that was promised throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures. And they made plans to destroy him and to trap him. And they continued to oppose him at every turn and to test him right up until the time of his crucifixion. So being divided against Jesus, the Pharisees set a trap by asking about a particular kind of division: divorce. They said to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" They want him to take a stand on whether or not divorce is permissible. Now, it's not entirely clear from the text how they think they're going to trap Jesus with this question. And in one sense, it really doesn't matter. What matters is Jesus' response. He doesn't take the bait. He won't delve into the ins and outs of what makes divorce permissible, or get into a debate about the who, when, what, where, and how of what Moses allowed. He says this: because of your hardness of heart, Moses wrote you this commandment. In other words, because of sin. But from the beginning of creation, it was not so. God made them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. In other words, it was never supposed to be that way. God wasn't the one who put divorce in the dictionary. From the beginning, he had established marriage as a permanent union of man and woman, and a union of man and woman with one another and with any children born from their union. Jesus' final words are unambiguous. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. So what has God joined together? In marriage, God joins two people, a man and a woman, into one. Marriage is a good thing, but it isn't easy, as anyone who's been married very long knows. There's a reason why the wedding vows mention sickness and health, richer and poorer, better and worse. When it gets rough, the temptation is to bail. And too often, even Christians are willing to put asunder what God has joined together. So be faithful to your vows. And what does faithfulness require? It requires forgiveness. It requires sacrifice. It requires a willingness to show love even when it isn't deserved. And this is what we pray for. As we gather on Sundays, often we pray for husbands and wives. We pray for God to strengthen them in faithfulness to one another and love toward each other. And we pray for him to sustain and defend them in every trial and temptation. Sin creates and widens divisions. But the Lord came to forgive sin and to heal divisions. And what else has God joined together? He's also joined families together. God is the one who makes fruitful and multiplies, and as he wills, he blesses the union of man and woman with children. Think about your family, the family you were born into or the family that you have. Without your consent, without your permission, God brought you into existence through your parents. You just got dropped into a family. You can choose your friends, you can choose your neighbors, but guess who you can't choose? Your family, your parents, your siblings, your children. And yet so often our greatest sources of heartache come from troubles with members of our own immediate families. When harsh words are said or unkind actions are done, we're tempted to walk away or to turn the cold shoulder or to give the silent treatment. And it's true that some family members are hard to love. Some family members are hard to forgive. Some family members are hard to enjoy. But God has joined us to them. So do not allow yourself, and do not allow your words or your deeds or your responses to be the source of division from the family God gives you. Live at peace with one another, for you have peace with God. And what else has God joined together? Believers in Christ, including this congregation. In 1 Corinthians, St. Paul describes the church as one body. He writes, "For just as in one as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." As members of the body of Christ, God has made us members of one another. He has brought us together at this time and in this place, and we are to guard that unity with our words and our deeds, and to build one another up rather than tear one another down. So what might we do to contribute to greater harmony in our midst? How might we prevent divisions from forming or small cracks from becoming great chasms? Are we nurturing hurts or harboring grudges against one another here? Have we spoken poorly of a brother or sister in Christ? Let us strive to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's true that in marriage, It's true that in families, it's true that in the church, we all live as sinners together with other sinners. There's no avoiding sin, although there's no reason to seek sin out either, or let it multiply and grow. Like the Pharisees, we're experts at seeing the sin that divides, especially the sin of others. But we have a harder time seeing the Savior who forgives and unites. But the Savior is here too. He is here with his forgiveness. He is here with his healing. He is here to unite us despite the divisions we've created and sustained. Our Lord is not at odds with sinners, only with sin. Our Lord said he did not come to heal the righteous or to make to deal with those who were well, but rather he came for those who were sick, for sinners. The only division that our Lord wants to create and seeks to sustain is the division between the sinner and his or her sin. And how does he do this? He does it with a special tool. Let's call it a sin divider. Our Lord does it with an instrument that divides us from our sin and from death, but joins us to him. And the instrument is his cross. His cross was placed upon you at your baptism. His cross was traced on your forehead and on your heart. His cross was driven into your soul. He put it there, like a flag planted on the earth. Jesus said of you, "I claim this one as mine." Through baptism, God has united you to Jesus in his death and resurrection, and he has buried you and your divisive tendencies and your sin in the grave. And he has raised you to a new and resurrected life, a life united to his life. And he has promised to remain faithful to you no matter what trial or tribulation may come your way. St. Paul so confidently, so boldly asserts in Romans chapter 8, he says this, "I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, from the love that he has shown to us by his cross, and the love that he has poured out on us in our baptisms. I know as you think about divisions in your marriage or your family or in your church, you may at times feel like the cross is simply a cheap way of dealing with it. But it's not. Jesus doesn't heal divisions with cheap grace. He doesn't use band-aids, but he uses real grace. Sin divides, yes, but unity is secured at the cost of his blood. So we are united by his blood shed for your sin and mine, for your spouse's sin and your family member's sin, and for the sin of your brother or sister in Christ. And now nothing can separate you from his love. Every sin has been washed away and overcome by his cross. And this is what gives us the strength to stand against divisions. This is what gives us the boldness to work for unity, even amid our differences. This is what enables us to reach out across the divide of strained relationships to siblings, parents, and children. This is what enables us to remain faithful to our vows and to seek help to do so when we go through struggles. The promise that we cannot be separated from God's love in Christ Jesus is everything for us, and it is everything for our homes and our families and for our congregation. His faithfulness is our security. His faithfulness is our confidence. His faithfulness is our forgiveness, even for our part in past divisions. And so we say again the words of the hymn we just sang. Oh, bless the house, bless the marriage, bless the family, bless the congregation, whate'er befall, where Jesus Christ is all in all. In his name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, help us by your Spirit to receive your kingdom in humble repentance like little children, that we may enter it in the joy of your forgiveness in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that we may pay closer attention to your word, lest we drift away from it and neglect the great salvation it reveals to us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, in a reflection of your eternal love, you join man and woman together so that they are no longer two but one flesh. Bless the engaged, the newly married, and those who have shared many years together with even more of your love, that they may live together in marriage with joy throughout the remainder of their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, help all parents who have brought their children in Christ to Christ in the waters of holy baptism, to bring them also to him faithfully in the divine service, that he may continue to take them in his arms and bless them through his word. Watch over all expectant mothers and their little ones, especially Abby LeBaire and Kaylee Phelps. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, help us when we do not see everything in this world in subjection to Christ. Give us eyes of faith to see him crowned with glory and honor at your right hand, and so believe that nothing is outside of his control. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, guide and bless the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Prosper its members' service as they use their hands to work for the Savior, their feet to go on his errands, their voices to sing his praises, their lips to proclaim his redeeming love, their gifts to extend his kingdom, and their will to do his will. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord God, comfort Amy Bennett, Stan Thompson, John Walters, Karina Faw, Luis, Diane Albert, Maury Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Barbara Bell, Anne Blaze, Jared Blaze, Carlene Breen, Pat Courtwright, Matt DeBara, Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, Reverend Kevin Foss, Jackie Gordon, Randy Hunter, Rosemary Jackson, George Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Audrey Linick, Janet Lipke, and all others who suffer in body or mind. You made the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering, that in all their trials they may put their trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, have mercy on those who suffer from mental illnesses. Do not allow the evil one to trouble them, but sustain and strengthen them by your word and spirit. Surround them with loved ones and caregivers who are wise and compassionate. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, deepen all who eat and drink Christ's body and blood today in the truth that he has made them bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, that they may not doubt, but believe that he will hold fast to them forever. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith towards you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with us grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.